Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. Today is Friday, and this is the first week in Advent. And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son. A reading from 2 Samuel chapter 10. Sometime afterward, the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun succeeded him. David said, I will deal loyally with Hanun, son of Jahash, just as his father dealt loyally with me. So David sent envoys to console him concerning his father. When David's envoys came into the land of the Ammonites, the princes of the Ammonites said to their lord Hanun, Do you really think that David is honoring your father just because he has sent messengers of condolences to you? Has not David sent his envoys to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? So Hanun seized David's envoys, shaved off half the beard of each, cut their garments in the middle of their hips, and sent them away. When David was told, he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. The king said, Remain at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return. When the Ammonites saw that they had become odious to David, the Ammonites sent and hired the Arameans of Beth Rehob and the Arameans of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, as well as the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, and the king of Tob, 12,000 men. When David heard of it, he sent Joab with all the army of the warriors. The Ammonites came out and drew up a battle array at the entrance of the gate. But the Arameans of Zobah and of Rehob and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the open country. When Joab saw that the battle was set against him both in front and in the rear, he chose some of the picked men of Israel and arrayed them against the Arameans. The rest of his men he put in the charge of his brother Abishai, and he arrayed them against the Ammonites. He said, If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be strong, and let us be courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him. So Joab and the people who were with him moved forward into battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. When the Ammonites saw that the Arameans fled, they likewise fled before Abishai and entered the city. Then Joab returned from fighting against the Ammonites and came to Jerusalem. But when the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered themselves together. Hadadezer sent and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the Euphrates, and they came to Halam, to Sokbak, the commander of the army of Hadadezer at their head. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan and came to Helam. The Arameans arrayed themselves against David and fought with him. The Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed of the Arameans 700 chariot teams, 40,000 horsemen, and wounded Shobach, the commander of their army, so that he died there. When all the kings, who were servants of Hadadezer, saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and became subject to them. So the Arameans were afraid to help the Ammonites anymore. Have you ever noticed how no sooner than a president is elected, we start talking about who will be the next president? We're just 1 year into this presidential term, and already many are speculating about who will win the office in 2024. Will Donald Trump return to power? Who is the next big candidate for the Democratic Party? I wonder why we're so much more concerned about the future than we are about the present, about who will win the office than who and how they're governing. Perhaps it is because the present is somewhat known to us, but the future seems beyond our power and control, so it worries us, or the future seems to be an opportunity that is open to us, and if we work and plan now, we could seize that future for ourselves. Or maybe it's because we know that all things change and nothing in this world lasts forever. What would set me off on this tangent is the sense that the David story is changing. We have finished hearing the story of David's rise to power, according to the will and working of the Lord. We have also heard all there is to hear about David's accomplishments as king. He has established Jerusalem at the center of power in Israel. He has built his palace. He has brought the Ark of the Lord into the city once and for all. He has expanded the borders and started a small empire that has brought all the local rivals under David's control. He has won God's unconditional oath to his house and to the royal dynasty of the nation, and all his enemies flee before him. And you get a sense that the story of David is starting to slow down, because what is left for David to do? The right answer, of course, would be that what is left is for David to rule, to judge with equity and care for his people in righteousness according to God's own steadfast love and mercy for his people, according to the covenant that God had made with his people. The right answer, of course, would be for David to be the good shepherd that he was always brought up to be, that he would strengthen the faithful witness of Israel to its God and in the process create a nation that is a light of justice and peace to the world by simply being God's anointed and governing accordingly. Of course, we know enough about the kingdoms of this world and their very human kings to know that the right path is rarely the one that is followed. Power has a way of changing human beings, and righteousness has a way of simply feeling dull and ordinary. We know that after the rise to power will come a fall, and we all start to wonder who will follow David on the throne over Israel. David has a household full of sons, but which one will be the one to inherit the throne? That human power fails and even the best of human beings seem to be corrupted by power is, of course, the stuff of tragedy. But it is also a reminder that we are to put our trust in the Lord and not in any human or any ideology or any institution or any power of this world. The rich, the famous, the powerful, the beautiful, the strong, the elite, the wise, and so on are merely human beings, not the gods they project themselves to be. Look through the hype, the propaganda, the ideology, the image that's spun. Look into the eyes and see just another mixed-up human being. And all of those things that awe us about the rich and the famous and the powerful will be revealed to be simply a trap and a lie. What seems to be the privilege of power to do whatever you want suddenly traps us. It's hard to keep the world and yourself in perspective when you look out your window and down on others from those heights. From that perspective, from that height, nothing stays the same. Things are going to change again in the story, and soon everyone will start to wonder, what does happen after David? In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears, and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. In you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church, for the gift of relationship with others. For what else are we thankful this morning? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all of your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, for the people, the ministries of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, for those who govern the nations of the world, and for people in countries that are ravaged by strife or warfare, for all who work to bring about peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction, for the sick and for those who care for them, and for those who are grieving and mourning and hurting, and for those who accompany them. For what else or for who else do we pray this morning? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good, render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people, love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.